Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are watching on the stream, no, it's not Thursday. Janelle is here on a Wednesday, so we have one more day to go until Thursday. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks. You're
great as always.
Thanks. I'm really screwing up your schedule here for the next few weeks. I've got a colonoscopy on Friday, so I'm be at home doing prep tomorrow.
And we'll be thinking of you.
I will be thinking of food and how much I'm not getting it. And then the week after that, I will be heading towards Toronto and Boston for the week.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
So it'll be, and I did it perfect. Like, I scheduled my colonoscopy between vacations.
Yeah.
So I'm like, in my mind, I'm not gaining any weight from either
one. There you go.
No. Yeah.
I'm like,
it's all balanced out.
Right. Like,
total.
A little bit of the weight that I put on from Arizona, all scraped out by tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
right?
gone.
And then it means I'll be completely empty by the time I go on vacation.
What's your first meal after the colonoscopy?
I like chocolate Long Johns from Schnucks.
Nice.
Yeah, I think they have the best anywhere. So yeah, I'm in fact, like, tonight I have been eating. I know I've been eating in my version of crap today, like, of just whatever I want.
It's gonna,
like,
be gone real soon.
Yeah. So I know it's gonna be like, wow. Like, I had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch in a bag of chips. I know it's like, that's not crap, but that is for me. And then I'm ordering a pizza when I get home.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
What's your go-to?
It's really weird. I get really, the family loves to say, you don't have pizza, because I don't like pizza sauce. So,
gets in the way.
Yeah. So it's a very, like, just glorified cheese bread, you know? So I'll have the, whatever, like, the white sauce is, just a whole bunch of cheese. Spinach, tomatoes. I mean, it's just a cheese bread.
I love pizza sauce. Wheels, I don't know if you have this problem with your reflux, but it really hits my reflux.
It just depends.
Acid?
If I did it too much, it would, but at the rate that I eat pizza normally, it's okay.
And it's specifically Pizza Hut.
Oh, theirs is a little bit on
Andrew has issues.
Spicier side.
With the Hut as well, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the Detroit-style ones, because they're spicy, their sauce is supposed to be a little spicier. It's not hot or anything, but it's a little more.
Is it the acid in the tomato sauce?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, for me, it's any of the triggers are tomatoes and onions. Well, what is most of pasta sauce? It's tomatoes and onions. It's a huge part of it.
Whatever we want to talk about, we can talk about, but I'm still so intrigued by Odyssey, which is on the 18th, right?
Yeah, I actually see it Monday. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about
excellent.
That. Yeah. Gosh, I am too. It's the weirdest stuff is going on right now online on social media, because Elon Musk a few months ago had decided that he hates Christopher Nolan. He calls it the woke agenda, and that he hopes this movie bombs. And now all you have are a lot of his sycophants all over social media, downrating the YouTube, like the trailer. On YouTube. It's just, they're hoping that it flops. They're trying to promote this Uwe Boll movie, this
Citizen Vigilante.
Yes, which has like a 93% audience approval rating and like a 6% critic rating. And have you heard the latest that Armie Hammer came out and said, I did not know what this movie was about. I was hoodwinked.
Sure you were, buddy.
Right.
He shot it. He said all the dialogue.
They were going to have people... at Kraft Food Services for me to eat.
He's like, I only
got. I swear, I thought this was about cannibalism.
Well, I thought that all those brown people I shot and killed.
Yeah, he's like, I got 50 pages of script. I didn't even get the whole script. And as it was being, like, nobody believes this, but this is the narrative that he's coming out about this movie. That they're like really trying to promote this and have this take over the top spot. Like, so they're so proud that it's like moved into number 2 on Amazon, like right behind Project Hail Mary. And it's just really bizarre, because it's I kind of, in a way, feel bad for somebody who is so deep in their that political kind of side, the real fringe, real fringy, that they are not allowing themselves to just enjoy a good movie because their leader, their dear leader Elon Musk, has told them that, that, you know, like, there was a brown person cast in this movie, so you absolutely can't like it. And it's, I find the whole thing around it just very cringy, very just off-putting in every kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost texted you off the air when I saw there are like 600,000 thumbs downs on the trailer. And I'm like, what's up? And I guess pretty easy to figure out.
That, yeah, they're just going over there. There are people that are already trying to put in a review on Letterboxd on just like giving it a half star. And one of them was so appalling. I think the guy actually got banned from Letterboxd due to what he had written as far as his film critic. And the thing is, only a handful of people have really seen it. I think the social reactions came out July 6th, just a couple days ago. People in the big cities got to see it. There's no reviews out yet. People are just giving their impressions. But it's just so weird. And just, I just can't believe that this is where we're at. That he decided to try to go after one of the best, biggest film directors that we have right now, who won an Academy. Like, he keeps saying that, like, he's got to do this DEI casting so he can win an Academy Award. Oppenheimer had an all-white cast and won an Academy Award. So it's very just...
Well, it's funny because it was a retelling of real history with real people that you tried to portray in a real way, and this is a fantasy story.
Right, and it's just...
they're very different things.
And they're very up in arms, like, these should have, you know, like, oh, they should have been Greek people, and it's like, okay, but you're only really focusing on two cast members of this entire movie. You didn't focus on the fact that Matt Damon isn't Greek, Robert Pattinson isn't Greek.
And don't look Greek.
Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, like, nothing else has been said about... And it's only just been about Elliot Page and Lupita. And it's like, we see through what you're trying to do here. Like, you're trying to, these same people did not complain when Christian Bale was cast as Moses. And the one, I think it was him and Joel Edgerton. And as much as I love Joel Edgerton, he wasn't Ramsey. You know what I mean? Like, but nothing. No, none of this was ever, but yeah, this has been the new thing online to try to just... try to make the movie bomb. And even though I think it ended up selling 150,000 pre-sale tickets for opening day, it's just weird. It's weird. It's a weird place right now.
I'm really looking forward to it. I love long movies. I grew up, right? I know you love the Ten Commandments, like I do. Cleopatra.
Sure.
All the Civil War movies, yeah, the Gettysburg.
Famously, the right stuff.
The famously Egyptian Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we honored. Yeah, that was.
Yes.
I'm actually surprised they're not making this into like five movies.
You could have done a trilogy with it.
Yeah, actually, everybody's kind of surprised that he didn't start with the Iliad, and he just went right to the Odyssey. But, I mean, this is what he wanted to do, and...
No, I'm glad one movie. I'm shocked that they didn't.
Money grab.
Well, because it just seems like they try to meld
franchise.
Milk everything.
Yeah. I was gonna say, again, that could be Nolan's
thing,
right?
Odyssey universe.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I think we should all be grateful that it actually wasn't turned into like an Amazon streaming series, because his ability to do, like, he's very famously, he likes to stay away from CGI as much as he can. Everybody on set has talked about how this was the hardest film set they've ever worked on, that he really had them rowing boats out in the ocean, and that he built a 50-foot puppet for the Cyclops and put them all in a cave. And I look forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Cool.
I think it's going to be amazing.
Do we know who Zendaya plays in The Odyssey?
Athena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She looks really
on the other side. I don't know if you saw this, Janelle, but Young Washington, the movie.
Yeah.
People are up in arms because... evidently so much AI was used, which, I mean, I get, but at the same time, if I can watch a movie,
sure,
I don't like AI because it's taking people's jobs.
Right.
But if you show me a movie and I can't tell it's AI,
I have a feeling you probably can.
Why do you need AI for a George Washington story?
Well, they say that they're cheating because, for example, it sounds like they shot it in a field.
Yeah.
But then they made the backgrounds of the battlefields and the trees and the hills and the mountains all AI.
So, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be any different than CGI, you know, being used from computer graphics. I guess they're just taking away computer graphic artists being able to do that. I mean, I knew you guys talked earlier about like that. The one thing that you kind of wish that you would go away in society is just the focus on profit. And I agree with Rachel. It's going to get a lot worse before it ever gets any better. Because everything now is just how can we save a buck and how can we, and it doesn't matter who we put out of jobs. And I mean, Disney is struggling with that because they laid off so many of their, whoever does the visual effects of that. And so it's like they've worked these people to the bone. And now if they can find a way to do it without having to pay extra people and do it in a cheap rate. I mean, would Coca-Cola do it for the Super Bowl? And everybody.
Rich, I think you had this in your show prep. I had it as well that as much as I love long movies, that the average movie now is down to 88 minutes. Did you see this?
Oh my gosh, that would be crazy if it is.
Or maybe that's what they're shooting for. Maybe that's the ideal.
I can see streaming movies going that way, you know, stuff that's really released on Netflix and Amazon that's strictly really. But I mean, it's then, and I hope it's not because they just can't keep people's attention spans for 2 hours. But some movies, absolutely. Are they too long? You could probably shave it down 20 minutes. Yes. But there are some movies that I don't want. I wouldn't. Would you want The Odyssey to be an hour and a half?
Oh, no. You but know, I don't need like a 2-hour and 20-minute rom-com.
No, well, I mean, those usually aren't, you know, like horror movies usually stay around the hour 30, hour 45 minute mark because they know that at a certain point it just wears thin. You know, you can't keep the adrenaline up for that long. But I mean, these big, like sweeping epic, like Dune, I didn't want Endgame to end, you know, like just there's some movies that the longer the better. It's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, I agree. Going to take a quick break, right back with more with Janelle. DGS, happy Wednesday.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it started out. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Janelle's hanging out with us. Dave Murray joins us at the bottom of the hour. So you saw Hail Mary?
I did.
As you just crapped on two of Janelle and I's favorite series.
I didn't crap on them. I just said that they weren't worthy of the 27,000 nominations they got for awards.
You really should do your own reviews.
Reviews that nobody will watch.
Yes. Like the emotionless, non-whimsical review.
No, his reviews are exactly what go viral on TikTok.
Really?
Because he's giving such like hyperbolic reviews that's the reason like I'm never gonna go viral because like a lot of times I'm just like it was good and here's what you know and people want to hear like and this is why this is the worst movie that came out this year like. Yeah, so that Kevin would be great because that's what it would get, as long as he could get people angry, which would be no problem for him.
I didn't realize, though, that like saying something wasn't elite is getting, I mean, to make people angry. Like those shows were fine. I watched them. I just thought,
no, but there's
a lot of awards for a show that was just pretty good.
No, there are ways that we all know that there are ways that you can say something was okay, and there's different ways that you can say something was okay without.
Well, yeah, my reaction though was not to the shows; it was to the nominations. Like we were talking about Widow's Bay, it was a fine show. a little bit goofy for me for something that's supposed that's horror too. I'm not a big fan of like making horror silly or like, you know, that kind of thing, but it's fine. It was all right. Like the characters are great. I love Steven Root and everything, so he's awesome. But it got 19 nominations. I didn't think it was that level. I didn't think it was Sopranos level. I didn't think it was Game of Thrones level of TV show.
See, I think for what it was, which I give a lot of credit to writers and producers and actors who can so successfully meld horror and comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't The Exorcist, but it was creepy.
Yeah.
But I thought it was one of the funnier shows I've seen in 10 years. Yeah,
the dialogue and the script was one of the probably the best I've seen, you know, in a series in a long time. Yeah, I mean, that's just, the writing is supremely good. The cast is great. I mean, everybody's got great chemistry. Yeah, I mean, you have to look at those things outside of, like we were talking about, like The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms has been nominated for 9, and none of the cast isn't. They've got drama series, cinematography, sci-fi, production design.
Well, to me, that was a better show than the other ones. It was funny. It had the action. There's a good human side to that story, too.
But the Emmys have a lot of characters. I think the Emmys have many more categories than what the Oscars do. So say like it's got 19, it shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, it isn't like the Oscars. They've got like hairstyling is a category.
Is it,
you know,
were those shows in your guys' opinion, were they worth twice as many nominations as Knight of the Seven Kingdoms? Because like that's kind of what I'm referencing.
I would
have to see.
I would say I think Knight of the Seven Kingdoms should have had some of the cast nominated as well. And Widow's Bay, I think had 3 or 4 different people. That bumps it up a lot. So I think there's things that Knight of the Seven Kingdoms could have been in there. But there was a whole stream of, you know, TV shows and stuff that came out.
Dave Murray's weather forecast is brought to you by Huff Heating and Air Conditioning.
DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I feel so smart because we had a 1-hour show Friday. We had a game yesterday. I took one day off yesterday or Monday, and I got 5 days.
There you go.
That's a big return.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It's nice sticking it to the man. Take that, Whitey. How's the,
you are Whitey?
I thought you were going to keep going. Whitey Bulger?
Me too.
What's Whitey Herzog?
Nobody wanted to jump in on that.
Pretty good to this show.
Tried to pull it back. Don't get me started on the white man.
And we all left you out there on that cliff.
Boy, I know who my friends are now.
I was smiling.
None of them are in this room. So, interesting week of weather, Dave? Coming up?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we've had some pop showers, thunder showers around this afternoon. Really, really pop, really isolated. For the most part, they're going to fade, and they're fading quickly right now. There's not much around the immediate St. Louis area. And if you have evening plans, wouldn't really worry about it. I think they're all gone. Skies will go mostly clear tonight. Tomorrow is a summer day, partly sunny. It's more humid. It's hot, 93 degrees. It's going to feel like summer. But there will be scattered showers and thunderstorms around during the afternoon on Thursday. It's not a widespread severe weather outbreak, but some of the stronger storms, really heavy downpours of rain, these efficient rainmakers again, thunder and lightning and some gusty winds, scattered showers and thunderstorms around Thursday night, Friday night. The weekend, Saturday, partly sunny, going to keep a chance of a couple of showers and thunderstorms around, but they'll be fading. 87 degrees. Sunday looks fine right now. 87 and partly sunny sky. So a little unsettled through Friday night now.
Okay. Not bad. As you always say, it's okay. St. Louis, it's summer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I have a question for Wheels.
Uh-oh.
You need
my weather spotter training?
No.
I don't think he does.
Definitely not. Maybe I've just noticed it, but why are there so many baseball scores that are off the cliff? I mean, like 23 runs, 21. I mean, the Cardinals have
good
one.
Question.
Just big time.
Yeah, lately.
Yeah, lately.
Yeah, yeah. The month of June and now into July, the offensive numbers have exploded. Normally, you get a little bit of a boost June, July, August from the weather change, right? Normally it's okay, the offense, right. Offense is a little lighter April and May for a lot of reasons, right? You're new to the season, you're getting warmed up, and literally and figuratively, you know, it's a little bit of everything. But the numbers that you guys are talking about are higher than most June and July numbers. Like it's an increase over previous June and Julys, not just over April and May. And okay. A bunch of guys that are studying this, they're noticing that there's less drag on the ball right now. And that's actually measurable. They do track it. Major League Baseball tracks it. It's publicly available information. So something about the way the baseballs, the batch of baseballs they're using now, they cut through the air better. They fly further. They have less wind resistance. And Major League Baseball is saying it's a manufacturing thing. It's the string that they use. And maybe there was a little too much oil and the oil seeped through and it's causing, you know, these problems.
Wow.
You know, some
so
players.
Smooth balls.
Yeah, basically. And some of the players are calling BS on that. But the guys that are studying are just like, we're not trying to call whether it's a conspiracy or not, but it's clear that the ball's different and it's not being impacted as much.
Like smooth balls is going to be my prison nickname
yeah,
if I ever go.
I mean, why not?
Speaking of, I saw the report that several pitchers think that the baseballs are too slippery this year. They keep throwing them back.
Same idea, right? Because if you're talking about, like, if it's the oil that they use on the string to kind of help it, and that's seeping through, well, that could lead to some of that, too. Because even if it's not, quote unquote, wet, it can affect the way the leather is on the surface. Because mm-hmm. normally it's kind of dry. Normally it's not like a cue ball. And there are times in the past where pitchers have complained about baseballs where it feels like you're throwing a cue ball. It's not quite at that level now, but yeah, they're having problems with it.
What do the pitchers attempt to do to the ball? You know, ump throws them a ball. They got a fresh ball.
Yeah.
They have a couple minutes. What are they trying to do?
Normally they just want it to feel the way every other baseball feels. So there's a way that, like, it's kind of a weird balance between not being too dry and not being too sweaty. Because if you're either extreme, it's hard to control the baseball. Like, and you'll see this in the cold, because the baseball gets slippery because it's a little smoother, it's a little dry. So you want that middle ground is what you're looking for. So if you get a ball and it's a little bit dry, you see them, you know, using their hands, they'll put some dirt on it and they mix some sweat on it and they grab the rosin bag and you're trying to get it to be a little less smooth and slippery. When you get one that's maybe feeling a little bit the opposite, you probably grab a little instead of the rosin bag or your sweat, you're trying to put a little dirt on it to kind of dry it off a little bit if your hands are sweaty or something.
Why and how did the spitball work?
It changes the way the ball moves through the air. So it's all about wind resistance. So it'll come off the fingers funny, so it'll have some deception to the hitter. It'll look like it's one thing, but because it's sliding and you don't have the same friction to pull, it will do something unexpected, which is why guys did it.
And the new kid we're bringing up?
Luis Castellum.
Aki was saying that his changeup is like off the charts.
Supposed to be one of the best changeups in minor league baseball. You know, it's when you look at the scouting scale, you know, it's typically a 20-80 scale. So 20 being the worst, 80 being like Hall of Fame level pitch. I think he gets a 70 for his changeup, which is really high for, you know, somebody that hasn't been in the big leagues. But that's his calling card. He throws probably hard enough. Like, he's not a, you know, 88 mile an hour guy. He's probably 93, 94, but the changeup's his best pitch.
Matt Pauly, who's coming up next, just texted and said he's uncomfortable with all this ball talk. So,
well, too bad, sports guy.
Thank you, Dave.
But they're smooth balls.
Yeah, real smooth.
It's 3:42, and this time check is sponsored by Paramount Men's Medical Center.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Cardinal Report is sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience at Westport. I just did it about a month ago, and it was awesome. Matt Pauly joins us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
so much to talk about, right? I mean, it's such an interesting time of the season, such an interesting season. There's so many moving parts. Maybe I'm just paying more attention this season, but do you guys clock it that way? Like,
it's a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot going on right now. And I mean, there was more roster moves made today with Gastelum getting called up. The two guys being brought up yesterday just to eat innings, knowing that they were not going to even be technically in the organization at the end of those games. I mean, it is there's a lot going on.
And you know, we were talking about this earlier in here. So Tom and I were talking about it. Dave, you were in the room for a little bit of that. And then our boss, Steve Moore, was in there a little bit too. But like, part of this is, this is just kind of the season. Like, this is what we knew was going to be a part of this season. It just hadn't really showed up this seriously until now. And it also happens to be happening at a time when you're going up against a team that's better than you.
Yeah. And I mean, I hate saying it, but the Brewers are better than the Cardinals, and they've certainly shown it this year and in recent years. And that's the, you know, a lot of people are jumping off a cliff because it just hasn't looked good over the last couple days. The Cardinals have been really good against teams not named the Milwaukee Brewers this year. So get done playing the Brewers and get back to that, and hopefully they start winning a few more games. The Cardinals are really, really, really leaning in on player health right now and pitcher's health, and that's part of what led to yesterday. Mm-hmm. They and I have a really hard time getting after, and I get some criticism on this, if that's the lane that Oliver Marmol wants to get in, where he feels like he has to give these guys a day and it's going to cost you the opportunity to use pitching the way you would like it to give yourself the best chance to win. I actually think there's some honor in that. And I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if Michael McGreevy could have pitched yesterday or if he really, really needed that day. I'll take their word for it because there's no reason for me not to. At times it does feel like this organization really leans into pitcher health, starting pitching health, and then that does have some consequences with the way you use your bullpen and you're in a tough situation like you are right now. But I understand what they're trying to do, even if it's not resulting in wins at the moment.
See, short term, they kind of have to do it because short term, just like last year, you don't have enough bodies behind them, right? Who did you have to call up yesterday? You had to call up two guys you just designated for assignment immediately after they pitched for you. Right, a 31-year-old journeyman in Zimmerman. You call up Schuster, who's also a journeyman. Like, those are the people you're turning to. Look at Milwaukee. They turn to a guy like Robert Gasser, who's a legitimate prospect, who's just a young guy who goes back and forth, not because he's a journeyman, but because they don't have room for him. He would be in the Cardinals' five-man rotation, without question. But that's the guy that they have in reserve to call up when they need an extra guy. And he goes out there and gives you 7 1/3, 7 2/3 of awesome baseball. So, like, that's kind of the point of where you are. Like, what they're doing is because they don't have a better choice at the moment. And what Chaim Bloom has been doing is building up that pitching depth. So at some point here soon, you will then also be calling up players like Robert Gasser when you need a spot start and not guys you're just going to let go at the end of their performance. That's just kind of where you are right now.
So let me ask you this. If you guys can take yourself back to the beginning of the year, and if I told you, here's where we are, yeah, and I told you about what's going on with the pitching in this last few games, what, do you think you'd go, yeah, that sounds about right?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to predict you ever get to a day where your pitching is in such a tough spot that you're calling up Zimmerman and Schuster and you're literally just telling them, hey, you're here for a day and there's nothing you can do to preserve your spot on this roster. You will be DFA'd. And I don't know if that conversation explicitly was stated like that, but anybody watching this team knew that's what was going on. And they knew that was what was going on as well. Nobody got surprised when at the end of their respective games, they were told that they were designated for assignment. So this exact like scenario playing out, I don't know if I'd be surprised or not surprised, but I knew there was going to be some tumultuous moments during the year where some weird funky things were happening, and that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean the whole point that we all were making about this back in spring training leading into opening day was this is going to be an unpredictable season. There's going to be some really good stuff. We knew, like, for example, at that time we were all confident JJ Weatherholt would be a stud. Turned out that's the case. We were all completely unsure of what Jordan Walker was. Wow, he's been a hell of a surprise. We kind of had a good feel, at least I think we did, Matt, when we talked about it. We all knew that the pitching staff was going to be a question mark because you have a guy in Dustin May who hasn't been healthy in 3 years, and you got a guy in Leahy who hasn't been a starter for 2 or 3 years, and you've got, you know, McGreevy is a first-year full-time big leaguer. You've got Palante was coming off of a bad year last year, and he's been fantastic, so that's been good. And then, you know, you've got, what's his name, Libertor, who just hasn't been good. And we knew, though, we knew this was not a dominant rotation. We knew there were going to be challenges for innings, especially with Leahy and possibly with May, although May, I think, has been better with workload than maybe we would have expected. And then that's going to lead to the bullpen getting worn. And the bullpen getting worn is part of why you're seeing a lot of these late inning leads get away.
How long has the minor league pitching group been anemic? And if you would call it that, and if they have, why? How long and why was it why was it like that?
You want the first shot, Matt?
I mean, it's the entire player development system was just short of ignored for a while. And maybe I'm being a little bit too extreme in what I'm saying there, mm-hmm. but they just did not have the infrastructure and the human capital invested in the organization. So since Heim Bloom has been involved, they've started building that up. They've started to hire more coaches. They've started to invest in more technology. But they're still in the very early parts of that. I mean, you're 2 years basically into a new system being put in place. So I think that's the question that you were asking.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I would go with that.
So I think if I had to pick a time where I would say this is kind of like the turning point for player development and the Cardinals putting, it's probably COVID. Because everybody in baseball, and the Cardinals included, cut staff during COVID. And then the Cardinals just didn't bring a lot of those people back. They just didn't. And they didn't have the technology. They didn't have the pitching lab that they have now. They didn't have the hitting lab that they have now. So you were behind. And it was also philosophical. They were late jumping on the velocity bandwagon. They didn't even start doing that until Heim Bloom came in. Now, again, with some exceptions, here and there you would have it. But as an organization, it wasn't a primary focus. So philosophically, you were behind in what people were targeting and how they were developing players. You didn't have the tech. And what they did was chose to spend that money on fringe veterans like Michaelis and Fetty and guys like that rather than spending it on player development.
Thank you, Matt.
Matt.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.